Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
Well, John, we were talking about rose care, and there is still some time if you're out and about today to join the Master Gardeners. They're currently out at the Municipal Rose Garden off on Copia and Aurora Streets right across Memorial Park doing the rose pruning demonstration, and they'll be there until 2 p.m. today.
2 p.m. That's good. Good chance to learn a little bit about pruning roses. So I heartily recommend people to go out there. If you have any interest in roses and want to learn a little bit, great, great opportunity.
And tell them that we sent you.
Yeah, hands-on is the best way to learn.
Most definitely. And while last week we talked a little bit about rose pruning, this week we want to talk about tree pruning. Another trees, trees, trees. We can't get enough trees in this town. We need a lot of different things going on where we need to increase our canopy. We all know there are benefits of those trees as well. But before we even get into tree pruning, because it is an optimal time to do that, we thought we'd talk a little bit about tool care to be able to have your tools sharpened, ready to go before you start pruning out those trees.
Right. One of the basics we're talking about, homeowners, not commercial. Mm-hmm. People, but homeowners, you got to buy good quality tools and don't loan them out to neighbors, to teenagers, because they might be used to cut wire. You never know what. So you want to keep those tools in the best of shape. They are, somewhat expensive. So, you want to take good care of them, keep them cleaned up, and, keep a little fine, fine aught sandpaper around and kind of, a little bit of vegetable oil, mineral oil, stuff like that, that you can just kind of wipe the tools down to kind of keep rust and stuff and keep, some of the sap from the plants that you might be pruning, kind of keep those cleaned off so there's no gunk on the blades there. So you can kind of put a little oil and a little sandpaper and just kind of, or steel wool and just kind of go over those and kind of take all the rough edges off and stuff, but you don't really want to sharpen it with a, sandpaper. You'll use a small file on that, but you want to be very careful about sharpening them, because if you cut the wrong way, you've taken away the scissoring action, and you won't get a good cut, and you'll end up leaving chunks of wood behind when you're making your cuts, and you don't make good flush, even cuts. So you want to be real careful about that, but you do want to keep your tools in good shape. When you're finished with them, put them up. Don't throw them down on the ground and find them, 2 weeks later.
Right.
They're rusted and everything. So you want to put them up so that people don't get into them. But if they're used improperly, $30 or $40 pair of hand shears, real good hand shears can be made worthless in a very short amount of time. So buy good quality tools, keep them cleaned up. Basic tools would probably be a hand pruner, a lopper, a handsaw, and, I'd be careful about pole saws and stuff. You're starting to get a little bit beyond the homeowner reach. You're getting into almost where you need to call in a professional, because you can go on YouTube and type in, tree pruning, and you will see the darndest accidents and stuff that have been shot, on video.
Right.
People killed and injured, doing just home tree pruning on their own without being, a good professional where you're tied in and, tied in properly. So you want to be real careful. So when you're having to go up on a ladder to mm-hmm. prune a tree or something, you're kind of getting almost out of that category of homeowner. You really need to call in professionals at that point. So starting with a tree young, pruning it properly mm-hmm. avoids a lot of those instances where you have to come in and call the professionals in with chainsaws and stuff. So I don't think a chainsaw is a tool that a homeowner necessarily should have. They're very, very dangerous. A lot of injuries with chainsaws, very sharp. They can take off a finger, a leg, or a hand, very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So you want to be very, very careful with that and know, how to operate those type of things. So stay with the handsaw, hand pruner, and loppers. You can buy in different sizes. You know, don't get anything bigger than what you can handle.
Right.
So if you're kind of a smaller, you know, person, you don't need to get the great big, you know, lopper that's going to cut a 3-inch diameter limb.
Right.
You know, so you want to go more with a little bit more smaller, medium-sized lopper and be able to do the, you know, 1, 1.5-inch caliper type branches, and anything bigger than that, you'll use your handsaw, but you need to learn the basics on how to do that properly. Mm-hmm. But you want to be very, very careful and know how to use the equipment.
Most definitely. And your pruners, you want to specify that's going to be a bypass pruner.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, you don't want the anvil type pruners. They just, you know, they, when they're brand new, got a sharp blade, they work great, but once they get dulled, you'll leave all kinds of pieces behind. It does a horrible job cutting.
Raggedy, right, exactly. I like the, you know, you have your bypass pruners, and then I always think of my loppers as my extension pruners, all you right. know, because they're actually able to go a little bit higher as far as somebody that has some vertical challenges like myself to be able to reach some spots. And gosh, you know, even those hand saws that fold up and put them in your back pocket, you know, those are pretty sharp as well, too. You can get a lot of good cuts made out of those.
And again, you know, with the saws, you want to be careful that you don't, you know, you don't take on too big a limb. You want to come out and, you know, and do the 3-point cut where you make, you know, an undercut so you keep the branch from tearing the bark down the side of the tree when the limb falls. So you want to undercut and then overcut just a little bit of ways from where you undercut, and the limb will break off straight freely. Mm-hmm. And just fall straight to the ground, and then your third cut will be taking that stub off.
That's good.
And there's a lot of illustrated materials, you know, online from Extension, other sources that talk about the three-way cut and shows you how to take the weight off of a branch so that you can make that cut without, you know, stripping the bark down the side of the tree. And so you want to follow those points, but again, keep your saw is real sharp, and you know, you can, if you make the wrong cut, that limb starts to break and then it binds your saw, and then your saw is caught in
stuck in there
and you can't get it out, you know, and you're pulling on it, and it gets pretty dangerous at that point. So you want to avoid those type of things by making the proper cuts. Take the weight off so that you can handle the stub that's left.
And John, for somebody as you that's had such extensive knowledge in this community, training people on how to properly prune trees, we know that we have one of probably the most popular trees that are out there that are probably 40 plus years now.
At least that.
With our mulberry trees that we see, and we still see it to this day where folks are topping those mulberries and topping those large trees.
The mulberry seems to get more abuse than any tree in El Paso because it does get heavily topped. And what we're talking about by topping is, you know, basically coming out indiscriminately, making a cut where you take off a large portion of a limb and leaving just a sawed off piece. And, you know, later it puts out a bunch of shoots on it and the tree kind of looks like a lollipop. Right. You know, after all this has happened, and that is not the proper way to prune a tree. And people see it done, so they think that's the way to do it, and it just spreads. And actually, you're weakening the tree and shortening the life of that tree. So it's not a good practice. Luckily, the mulberry does put on a lot of growth after pruning and seems to, you know, do well with it, but you're actually weakening it, and over time it will, you know, get diseased or insects move in and it dies off.
Right.
So it's not a process you really want to start. So again, if you need your tree pruned back, call in professionals, look for a certified arborist, and you know, check their credentials, get references. Do not pay ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big mistakes a lot of homeowners make, is you pay remodelers and tree pruners and stuff like that money ahead of time, and then they disappear or they don't get the job finished, and you've already paid them, so you have no recourse.
Right.
And so you know, don't pay them up front. Wait until the job's done, and then you can pay them. But talk to them and know what they're going to do, so it's not a surprise. You know, when you come back and you go, oh my God, what happened to my tree?
Exactly.
So use good certified people, and the trees cannot be pruned the same, you know, so an ash is not pruned the same as a mulberry. And, you know, so when you go in topping things, the mulberry might make it, but an ash and other trees are going to start dying back pretty quick. So you'll kill a tree mm-hmm. by topping it.
Eventually.
So you want to be careful with that. And again, pruning early on, you know, getting the tree started the right way will avoid a lot of pruning that you have to do in the later years.
So get that good foundation set for you on there. And also, you know, we talk to any arborists and foresters out there, they always say, think safety first. And that's the utmost importance. So you want to make sure that whatever limbs that you do prune, you want to make sure that you're protecting, you know, people. So any walkways, sidewalks below that, you won't have anybody bumping their head along a lower branch that may be impeded into a public space and your property as well. So,
and, you know, might throw in evergreens, pine trees, junipers, all those. You never top those.
Right.
They don't grow back the same as a deciduous tree.
Yeah.
Or, pines, if you're going to take a limb off, you take it all the way back to the trunk. You don't stub it off, because it'll more than likely die from the stub all the way back to the trunk of the tree. It doesn't put out those sprouts like a mulberry or you know, other deciduous trees. So you want to prune those totally different, and you don't want to, you know, do some thinning on them, but you don't want to top them or take them back.
And I think it's important that homeowners also kind of look at and say that just because it's the right time of year to be pruning those trees doesn't mean you necessarily have to.
Right.
And just because you've been out there pruning the trees, you should not make it as obvious that you've been out there. It should be to that person that's going to look at that tree and kind of know exactly where they need to be able to cut. So don't think that just because it's time, you want to pull all systems go and take things out. No, you want to make sure that you invest in a good and your good quality, like the tools that you explained, but also to make sure that that tree lasts in your landscape for years to come.
Yeah, and good pruning, usually you don't know the person's prune, you know.
Right.
If it's a good pruning job, a good pruner goes in, takes the wood out, and, you know, cleans it up and does all that, and you can barely tell he's been there.
Right.
So you're not, you know, you may be only taking 25% of the wood off. You're not taking 50% of it or 75% of it. So, you know, again, look at getting a good pruner, and, you know, get references. And, you know, if you see somebody that's got some nicely pruned trees in their yard, you know, stop by and compliment them on their trees and ask them who does their tree work, their tree care. That way you get a good reference.
Wonderful. And in order to get a good reference, or a good tree that we're looking at, we have our nomination for our tree of the week, John.
And that's the Western honey mesquite. So the honey mesquite is a great tree. I love it a lot because it has a nice kind of willowy, open type growth habit to it. And, you know, kind of a just a feathery, you know, where you get a filtered light through the tree so you can grow things, you know, underneath the tree.
Right.
You know, and I just love the shape of it. It is a desert tree. It has a fairly large root system, so it really can go very long periods without water. And so it is very drought tolerant. Give it plenty of room, because a good mesquite tree can be, you know, 40, 50 feet in diameter on the canopy, and, you know, maybe 30, 35 feet tall. So they're not super tall, but they are spread out and give a nice shade over an area. So give them plenty of room, but great tree, you know, easy to find. When you see them in the pots in the nursery, they look kind of ugly because they just kind of grow, you know, wildly. And so you just have to work with them, but make an excellent tree. So great tree.
And you heard it here. Plant of the week, Well, John, thank you. We're almost out of time. We want to thank Lauren Terrazas for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.